Matthew 24, eschatology. Matthew 24, eschatology. Let's go ahead and read Matthew 24, verse number 1, all the way down to where we're going to stop here.
To where?
Matthew 24 and verse 1. We read this before, but we'll read it again, because it goes from one period of time to another. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when Jesus' disciples came to point out the temple and the buildings to him. Oh, how beautiful they are! And he answered and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another which shall not be torn down. And that was fulfilled in AD 70. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and saying, tell us when all these things shall, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of this age? The end of the age now, we're in the church age. The church age has already started. The church age started at the seashores of Galilee. The Lord went to the lost house of Israel, but lost sheep of Israel, but they didn't listen. And he called out that little church. The first gift he placed in it was apostles, and he sent it out on a limited commission. And the church has baptism. The church has the Lord's Supper now. And let's go on. And Jesus answered them, see to it that no man misleads you, because some will. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And we went to nearly 2,000 years of false messiahs that we just went through in the last two classes. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not frightened. For those things must take place, but this is not yet the end. We had the Roman Wars. We had the Greek Wars. We had the Roman Wars. We had the Muslim Wars. We had the Napoleonic Wars. We had World War I, World War II, and a few wars in between. Lawrence Arabia went over to Arabia and broke the caliphate. Caliphate, that is, in 1920 something. Now Islam is still on the rise. We've got Roman Catholicism still strong in parts of the world, and we got one nation against the other. Right now, we're in just about on the brink, of two or three World War III's. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes, which there has been. But all these things merely are like the beginning of birth pains, just like the beginning of a woman going to have a baby. Then they will deliver you up for tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And that happened also. This happened. From the time after Jesus' death, to that church was scattered throughout the world, it happened. And at the time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And that's happened. We saw that. 2,000 years of them. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. In America, we looked at America today. America is in the saddest shape that it has been since the Civil War. And in some ways, it's even worse. We're fighting the Civil War all over again. We're just defaming our heroes, and the outlaws are actually the patriots. The criminals are just fighting for justice. And we went in the last class that I taught, we talked about America. The Baptists fought hard in the American Revolution. They wanted religious freedom. They would not sign, or their representatives would not sign the Constitution to certify it for a long time. finally Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson, a few other talked to them. Thomas Jefferson became a very good friend of the Baptists, and they signed it, but they wanted amendments to the Constitution where people would not, they thought, American people thought at that time, in all of the colonies which became states, they thought if church membership and was not mandatory, that the nation would fall apart, that it would become nothing but a bunch of outlaws. Thomas Jefferson and the Baptists wrote to different Baptist conventions and associations, and they talked to them, and they did get the amendment to the Constitution where you have freedom of speech and freedom of religion. They were so happy with that. But they were defamed, saying that the Baptists and Thomas Jefferson were infidels and unbelievers, because if you didn't make mandatory church membership and have a state church in every state, that the place would fall apart. And then we had it. It was still nip and tuck in some states. But then Thomas Paine came along, and many others at that time. Some of the books were written that led people away from God, and many of the cities then and the big institutions became outlaw societies. The outlaws were simply fighting for justice, like BLM and Antifa today, so-called. They're outlaws, period. That's it. Not fighting for justice. Burning and pillaging, and that's what was happening back then, robbing people's houses. And yet they were okay. You know, these are okay. They're just fighting for justice. Well, we're in that time again. History repeats itself. If you do not know history, it repeats itself. Lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. And turning back to Matthew 10:22. The one that endures to the end of the tribulation shall be saved. He's talking about a double the period of time. Here's the tribulation period. The church age is over. The tribulation period is here. He that endures to the end shall be saved. It's not talking about salvation. The millennium will arise at that time. And now he's talking about the middle of the tribulation period. He goes into the tribulation period. He says, those that endure to the end will be saved. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. It has been preached to the whole nation, the whole world. But a whole lot of the world is Islamic. They rejected the real gospel. And they teach a gospel of hate and murder. Verse number 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation which is spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Now, here we have the abomination, desolation standing in the holy place. What's going to happen? Well, some people believe, especially the people that have converted out of Islam. What they've been taught, they talked about the Mahdi, they talked about the beast and Isa. Isa is a false Messiah, Jesus. Now Isa, the false Jesus, will come out and he will back the Mahdi, which is the savior of the Islamic nation. He's the one that's going to lead the world in war and going to overcome the world in war. And his helpers are going to be Isa, the false Jesus, and the beast. And the beast is a weird-looking thing, according to Islam, their writings. It's a conglomeration of many animals. It's got horns like a ram. Or it's got a tail. It's got a shoulders and front ends like a lion or tiger. Feet like a camel. And 20 feet in between the joints. this weird-looking beast. Now, to them, to the Islamic people, getting the mark of the beast is a good thing. Everything that the Bible says is bad, Islam says is good. And I want to tell you something else. Maybe you don't know this. But the statement of faith in Islam is there is no God but Allah. He has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. That is blasphemy. There is no God but Allah. In other words, there is no Jehovah. He has no son. Allah doesn't have a son, the Son of God, Jesus. That means that he has no companion, and that Muhammad is his prophet. But if you look in the Islamic writings, Muhammad takes all the credit and all the glory from Jesus. Everything that Jesus did and will do, he takes to himself. He will stand upon there with Allah, judging all mankind and making intercession for them. The Bible said there's only one intercessor between God and man, that's Jesus, not Muhammad. Everything that is bad in the Bible is good in Islam, in the Islamic writings. In other words, the absolute opposite. The beast and the false prophet, the Mahdi, are good. You want to take the mark of the beast. Every Islamic person wants to take the mark of the beast. The Bible says don't do it. But now, what could be more a mark of the beast? When you take the mark of the beast, basically, you say there is no God but Allah, he has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger. You've this 86th God out of your life. And Islam makes converts by the sword most of the time. If you live in an Islamic nation, you got to pay jizya. You have to pay a poll tax to stay alive. That's protection money if you watch The Godfather. When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of prophet Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. That's in parenthesis, by the way. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This is talking about the middle of the tribulation period. The first part of the tribulation period, Islam says that the Mahdi is going to make a contract with the Jews, and they're going to build a temple in Jerusalem. And the Jews are looking for their Messiah to build a temple in Jerusalem where they can offer sacrifice and they can serve God. But after... Now, it says in the Islamic writings that Islam, this Mahdi, is going to make a contract with the Jews for 7 years. And in the middle of that 7 years, that he's going to break the contract. Hudna. That's what it's called. That's when you make a contract with somebody knowing you're going to break it. That's hudna. When you hoodwink somebody. Hudna. When you see the abomination, desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. How do we know what's going to happen? If it is indeed this Mahdi, he's going to stand there and say to come and worship me. Because see, the Mahdi is a direct descendant of Muhammad, supposedly, according to Islam. And the direct descendant of the Mahdi, direct descendant of Muhammad, his spirit and soul will be in the Mahdi. So Islam is there. Muhammad is there, so to speak. He's there. And in that person, he's going to stand up and say, worship me. You know, according to Islam, Muhammad is going to sit there. Here's Allah, and here's Muhammad thrown right there. And everybody is going to come in there. They're going to do obeisance to Muhammad. And he's going to be their intercessor, and he will judge all mankind. That's what Islam says, but the Bible said Jesus will judge all mankind. the abomination of desolation, that's when he stands up there and says, worship me. And then when the Jews see this happen, they're going to supposed to flee to the mountains. Some people believe that they're going to flee down to Petra, that God has prepared a place down there for them. Zechariah 14:45. Let him on the housetop not go down and get the things out of the house. And let him who is in the field don't turn back to get his coat or your clothes. Woe to those who are with child, to those who nurse babies in those days, but pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, as such has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor even shall be. Here we're in the middle of the tribulation period. Right there in the middle of the tribulation period, the first part of the tribulation period is considerably mild. But the second part, every Jew, every Christian will be sought out to be killed. And the results of that is two-thirds of the Jews in the world are going to die during that period of time right there. Five out of every six Gentiles will die. If Islam is taking over, who can have a 200 million army capable when there's 2 billion Islamic people in the world today? Well, that's a piece of cake. And we see Russia lining up with the Islamic nations of the Middle East. We see China lining up with Russia. What a mess we're in. This country is an absolute terrible mess. Terrible mess. Let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down and get things out of the house. Let him who is in the field not turn back and get his coat. Woe to those who are with child in those days, but pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Now that would only portray to the Jews, wouldn't it? The Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has never occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor even shall be. And unless those days be cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. What will happen? The Jews are going to go down there not too long ago, over here in the 23rd chapter, and verse number 39, the Jews wanted to kill Jesus, but he told them, behold, your house is being left to you desolate, this in total destruction. I say unto you, from now on you shall not see me again until you say, blessed and holy is he that come in the name of the Lord. And when that happens, they're going to holler up. They're going to, when they know that they're going to be destroyed, two-thirds of the Jewish people have been destroyed. Four-fifths of the world has been destroyed. And they're going to start screaming for mercy from God. And they'll say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. And he will come back there and he will show them the wounds in his hands and his feet and in his side. And they said, where did you get those wounds? He said, in the house of my friends. And they will cry as one cries for his only begotten son. Unless those days be cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, he is here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. And he's talking about pre-tribulation now. He's talking about the false Messiah. The only Messiah they will ever see is Jesus, whom they crucified. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead even possible the elect. That means Israel, by the way. The elect is Israel. Behold, I told you this in advance. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out there. Behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man be. He's going to show up in heaven like a bolt of lightning. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. Now he goes to the battle of Armageddon. Goes to the battle of Armageddon. We still got more to go on here in a few more verses. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Can you imagine living in that period of time where the earth, the crust of the earth is moving all over and cracking and falling, and earthquakes everywhere in the world? There'll be volcanic activity, the ash that goes in the air, the star that's called Worm 1 should strike in the ocean and congeal a third of the ocean, and then all the fish will stink in the ocean, the filth of the earth will, the sea will no longer do its job, it will not cleanse the earth. The earth is in a total catastrophic, these environmentalists, they won't be worrying about the environment then. They're going to worry about surviving. When the environment gets real bad, they're going to worry about surviving. And there's nothing they can do about the environment because the earth is convulsing and destroying itself. You want to go see that? I don't. I don't want to see this. The Lord says that before all this happens, that he's going to rapture his church up in the air. Now, when the church and all the saved are raptured up in the air, they're someplace else, and all hell breaks loose on the earth. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding in the sky up there in New Jerusalem. There are going to be guests at the wedding. There's going to be the bride of the wedding is going to be the true faithful church. But there are many guests at the wedding also. They're servants in heaven. There are angels in heaven. And the saved shall be in heaven. And the bride shall be in heaven. You want to be part of that? Or you want to be part of what's going on the earth? It's up to you. You ask the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins, repenting of those sins and letting God change your heart and you who you are. I can guarantee you're going to be there with him. You won't have to face this tribulation period on earth. But many will, because they won't believe until then. They won't believe until after the rapture has taken place. And then they're going to have to die. They're going to have to give their lives for the Lord. And those tribulation saints will be have a special part of the economy with God. Special place in service to the Lord. But I don't want to be part of that, do you? Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. I pray that you use it to touch sinners' hearts and their lives and even save people, that they will look forward to your coming and try to prepare the world for it. Father, please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.